And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kara Pace. This is KALW San Francisco, the Bay Area.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian. Happy Hanukkah. Happy almost Christmas. We hope you are having a wonderful week, and we do hope that we can be part of that wonderful week by joining Minds Over Matter. We are an audience participation quiz program, so of course that's what we're looking for, your participation. We'd love to hear from you. And this is a great time to call in. Yes. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Damon's going to make a rap song out of that one of these days. And toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. Anyway, lines are open. We're waiting for you. And because your calls are what make the show, let me tell you. Also, I'm going to tell you that you can email us, contact us via email. We'd love to talk to you more, but if you want to email us, that's fine too. And that address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream, as always, at kalw.org. And of course, Damian, with his tremendous knowledge of all these things technical, will be able to put up our podcast after the show, and that will be posted at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW, if you would please. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And as soon as I open my phone, it's coming. And
the preparation's amazing.
It is.
Yes.
You should come to rehearsals.
Here we go. Kara Pace is making matzo ball soup tonight.
Wow.
She hopes for floaters over sinkers, but honestly is happy to eat either. That's true. The only floaters I have are in my eye.
So you can't go wrong with holiday carbs. Like in no form is a holiday carb wrong. The other night, Lori Fisher saw 84-year-old Darlene Love singing Christmas Baby Please Come Home on The Tonight Show. And for just a moment, a single moment, everything seemed perfect. She's hanging out online. Give yourself a Christmas gift and find her there.
She was amazing. That's all I'll say. Look her up. The Simpsons reference, quote, old man yelling at clouds, unquote, was by far the funniest reaction seen by our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, after a certain speech, indeed. Well,
that's right. I love that.
Way to go, Homer.
And that is us. And we'll get into questioning with Kara Pace.
I believe Grandpa Simpson is the old man yelling at cloud, right?
No, that's Abe. Abe's.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, Grandpa Simpson.
Right. Yes.
Yes. All right. So I am going to give you a year and a list of some fourth and fifth billed actors who featured in a movie that takes place at or around Christmas time. And I want you to tell me the movie. So for each of these little lists of third and fourth billed characters and fifth billed, in some cases, sixth and seventh billed, you tell me.
Second and third, now we're down to the fourth and the fifth.
Yeah. Right. Well, first, second, third, I think are a little too easy.
This is their only Christmas movie, correct?
No.
Okay.
And
okay.
Just a movie that takes, it's probably the only movie that features this, it should be for each set, will be the only movie that features this set of characters of actors and also takes place around Christmas time.
Got it.
Don't forget that these take place around Christmas time. Number one, 1947, Lloyd Nolan, Leon Ames, and Jane Meadows.
Jane
Number
Meadows.
two, 1949, Barbara Britton, Art Baker, and Anne E. Todd. Number three, 1960, Jack Crucian, Eddie Adams, and Hope Holliday. Number four, 1975, Max von Sydow, John Houseman, and Tina Chen. Number five, 1983, Denham Elliott, Paul Gleason, and Al Franken.
Ooh.
Number six is 1990, Reginald Vell Johnson, John Amos, and Dennis Franz. Number seven is also from 1990. That is Diane Wiest, Kathy Baker, and Vincent Price. Number eight is 1998, with Parker Posey, Gene Stapleton, and Dabney Coleman. Number nine is 2008, with Rafe Fiennes, Jordan Prentice, and Thecla Royton. And the last is from 2023 with Divine Joy Randolph, Carrie Preston, and Tate Donovan. So again, all these wow. movies took place at or around Christmas time. And these are third, fourth, fifth billed actors in these movies.
You better just do it quickly once more.
Sure. 1947 is Lloyd Nolan, Leon Ames, and Jane Meadows. 1949 is Barbara Britton, Art Baker, and Anne E. Todd. 1960 is Jack Crucian, Eddie Adams, and Hope Holliday. 1975 is Max von Sydow, John Houseman, and Tina Chen. 1983 is Denham Elliott, Paul Gleason, and Al Franken. 1990 is Reginald Vell Johnson, John Amos, and Dennis Franz. Also in 1990, we have Diane Wiest, Kathy Baker, and Vincent Price. In 1998 is Parker Posey, Gene Stapleton, and Dabney Coleman. In 2008, it's Rafe Fiennes, Jordan Prentice, and Thecla Royton. And finally, 2023, Divine Joy Randolph, Carrie Preston, and Tate Donovan.
Whew.
And I'm sure that you have seen at least a few of these.
What? Well, I sort of might know one, and I'm surprised I don't know many more. So I'm going to try the 1960 film with Jack Crucian, and I think it's Edie Adams, not Eddie Adams, I think.
Did I say Eddie? I apologize.
You said Eddie. That's okay. And I think it's The Apartment.
It is The Apartment.
All right.
Nice job.
Give me my bell on that, and you can do the other nine, Dana.
Well.
Jane Meadows.
Yeah. Could you give me the Jane Meadows one just once more?
Mm-hmm. 1947 with Lloyd Nolan, Leon Ames, and Jane Meadows.
Okay. That one has to be Lady in the Lake.
You are correct.
That takes place at Christmas, huh?
Yeah, that takes place around Christmas time.
I've seen it. All right.
And you got Edie Adams, right?
I did. The Apartment in 1960. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Is one of them Coming to America?
No.
All right. The John Amos one, I was thinking.
With Dennis Franz. Yeah. And what films? Al Franken didn't make a lot of films. That's the one I thought I should know. With Denholm Elliott.
That's not Stuart Saves the World, is it?
It's Ooh. Not, no. Because he would be top billed there.
And the Max von Sydow, the Tina Chen, is that 3 Days of the Condor?
It is, 1975, Max von Sydow, John Houseman, and Tina Chen, 3 Days of the Condor.
Okay, there we go.
A very good movie, by the way. Yeah, I don't have any of the others.
Okay, that's good, leave it out. And Laurie, you go ahead.
All right, well, we'll keep going with holiday entertainment. So I was looking, I've asked a version of this song, but not this one. I was looking at Christmas songs that have made the Billboard top 10, and there's a bunch of them. I'm only looking for ones from 1970 or before, kind of knowing our demographic of our audience. So give me the top 8 songs that were commercial songs, Christmas songs released and popular, made the top 10 in the Billboard top 100. 1970 or before. All pretty well known. And if you can throw in the artist and the year, that would be a bonus.
So it's between what and what years?
It's between, I think it started in 44, 45 and 1970. Those are the years I want. And it's rich in the 60s and 50s. That's where most of them are. One is in 1970, and there's a bunch after, but that list got too long.
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Did not make the list, surprisingly.
Oh, Santa Baby.
There's a lot of novelty songs in that era. Yes, maybe Santa Baby.
Santa Baby also, shockingly, not in the top 10.
All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
Also not in the top 10.
Oh, Christmas Time Is Here, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
You know what? That was one I thought would be there.
And that won a Grammy. That won like the first Grammy for comedy album.
Looking at the list, and I still don't see it there. I'm looking down to the top 20, and it's not in there.
Mm. Hey. All right.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
So are there versions of songs that were older that were just made popular?
I'm going to say one for sure was an old song made popular in this version. And the rest seemed like they were kind of written in the moment, either takes on old songs, okay, but they seem like in that kind of swinging rock and roll, early rock and roll era.
Did you already say, do you hear what I hear?
That one didn't make the top 10 either.
All right.
Well, what about Elvis's Christmas album that came out around that time?
Well, I'm not looking for album, but just looking for singles. And the name of that album was Blue Christmas. And that is lower. Give yourself a bell since we haven't had any. That's lower on the list. Okay, that was 1957. No. Not quite in the top 8 that I'm looking for. But that's of the ilk I am looking for.
So somebody asked about Santa Baby.
Yeah, Santa Baby. I'm double checking to make sure I didn't blow it. Did not make the top 10 in the Billboard.
And we already said Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
No, we didn't. That's number one on the list, Brenda Lee.
All right.
Okay. 1958, so very good. All right.
What about, what's the song actually called? The Hawaiian Christmas, the Mekakulika Maka is the word to say on the bright Hawaiian Christmas day. I don't actually know what that song is called.
That's Andrew Sisters and Bing.
Right. Rocky, I can tell you Andrew Sisters, but I don't know the title of that song.
And it didn't make the Billboard top 10. Okay. I would absolutely given you credit
What is that song called?
It's a Hawaiian Christmas.
Oh, is that all?
Is that
it's
the
called?
Name?
Yeah. All right. I guess it checks out.
Anyway, we can leave it out there. We have Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree as the top rated song of the ones 1970 or before. We're looking for other songs in the top 10 of the Billboard 100 that are Christmas song. I'm looking for the top 8. We only have one of them so far.
And it's only through 1970.
Correct. Yeah. Mariah Carey's the number one all time. And there's a song by Wham, but those are post.
Do they know it's Christmas? Yeah. Get into the 80s and I can help out here.
Yeah. But. Well,
Jingle Bell Rock?
We did not, but we should have. That's on the list. Give yourself a bell. Who sang that? Remember?
Oh, God.
Is that Patti Page?
It was not.
Okay.
Who sang Jingle Bell Rock? I don't know.
Bobby Helms in 1956.
Oh, Bobby Helms. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
Chuck Berry had Run Rudolph Run.
Yeah. And it is not in the top.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. On the list, but not top. All good guesses, guys.
All right.
Very good.
Okay. Just give the question once more, if you would.
The question is, in the Billboard Magazine Top 100, I'm looking for Christmas songs that made the top 10, but I cut off the year at 1970 or below. And then we have Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree and Jingle Bell Rock. We're looking for 6 more.
So I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas is not on there?
It is not. just off the top million.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter. Hi.
Good morning. First of all, Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday. I want all of our audience to talk about the great Maccabees who created this whole Hanukkah story. And Menorah, both in Hebrew and Arabic, means light. It's a celebration of light. That's what Hanukkah is. Great, great, great history, great occasion. I have a very, very quick question. I will leave it to the audience. It is dark matter makes most of the universe we know. Normal matter only makes 6%, believe it or not, everything in the universe, vast as it is. But so dark matter is divided in two items. One is called WIMPs, W-I-M-P-S, and the other one is called MASHOS, M-A-C-H-O-S. Leave this to the audience. I think your audience is very smart, and they will come with answer. For you, okay, so today, the, you know, January 1st, 2026, ancient Egyptian invented our calendar. It had different names later on, you know. Different people in Europe named it after themselves. Okay, what year, how many years ago did the ancient Egyptian create calendar? They created calendar using the star Cyrus. The star Cyrus named after ancient Egyptian goddess. Which one? Take the word Cyrus. What, which ancient Egyptian goddess?
Isis?
Yes, Isis. So it's called Star of Isis. Beautiful, golden, beautiful goddess of love, motherhood, and humanity. And shame some terrorist people using that name. Okay, so what year? Over 5,000, over 4,000 years ago? Over 5,000 years ago? Or over 6,000 years ago?
Go with the middle option of over 5,000.
You tell them.
6,267 years ago. Would you believe that? Would you believe that? No, you didn't say what.
1,000 years off.
So, great people, everybody, please, great staff, please, everybody, donate to KLAW because we need it now more than ever. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy Hanukkah. Thank you again. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134. We're toll free, 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, excuse me. Okay, let me give you a couple questions before you call us back. What song written for the movies, what Christmas song written for the movies has been used in the most films, according to IMDb? What Christmas song written for the movies has been used most in the most films, I should say.
What do you got, Kara?
It was written for a movie, you said?
It was written for a movie, but it's been used in many, 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 many movies.
My gut gives me White Christmas, but it might be too obvious.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
So I'm going, my guess is White Christmas.
No.
Okay.
Really?
Too obvious.
Well, maybe it's Blue Christmas, and that's why Dana had it on the brain.
Nope.
All right.
Not a colorful Christmas. Okay.
Well, what about, well, speaking, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No.
Was it written in, can you give us a decade the song was written in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was written before 2000, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Trying to think of being old enough to have been used a lot and also written for the movies. And that there is a little key in there.
Yeah, I am surprised you were not correct with White Christmas. Yeah. That's surprising.
What else appears a lot?
I will tell you that White Christmas is not even in the top, barely in the top 10.
Wow.
Of Christmas songs in the movies. Christmas songs written in the movie for background music or whatever feature. Yeah.
A couple, like I think I'll Be Home for Christmas is in a lot of movies, but I don't think it was written for the movies.
No, it was not, but it could, yeah. But it's not the film.
Yeah, it's not it. And it's a beginning to look, I'm trying to think of songs I've heard more than that would appear. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but I don't think that was written for the movies either, right? So I'm hitting a blank wall here. What about you, Kara?
No, but Dana didn't say it wasn't written for a movie, so I will guess it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
He trapped us again.
Mm. All right. Okay.
Okay. So I'll read it once more. What Christmas song written for the movies, it was written for the movies, has been used in the most films, according to IMDb?
How many films has it been? How many films has it been in?
I didn't write that down, but it was a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So, and in addition to that, I want to know what two famous comedians introduced, one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and two, Silver Bells.
Oh.
Two very well-known Christmas songs. What two comedians originally introduced those two songs?
Was this like in a nightclub act or in TV?
One on radio and one in movies.
And are they known as a team?
No relation to each other. They're not a team. They're just...
Oh, just two. It's two individuals. So
two
it's not
individuals.
Like, it's not like Martin. It's not Martin and Lewis or Burns and Allen. Yes. Each one is one.
One introduced Santa Claus Coming to Town on their radio show, and the other introduced Silver Bells in a movie they were in.
Man.
What about Jerry Lewis for Silver Bells?
No.
Okay.
What about Bob Hope? I'll start with him, and if it's right, I'll guess which one.
Four.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
No.
Bob Hope didn't have a radio show, did he?
He did.
He did have a radio show.
Yeah. Okay. And made a lot of movies. So he might be Silver Bells. Dana might be trapping us.
Yes, Silver Bells is correct.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, right. He introduced Silver Bells in The Lemon Drop Kid, 1951. Right. So we're still looking for who introduced Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Okay, I have one more question for you, a slightly longer one. I have a list of the 20 most expensive artworks ever sold at auction. So what I'm going to do is give you the title of the painting, and I want you to tell me who the artist is. But these are from the list of the 20 most expensive artworks ever sold at auction. I'm going to give you some of the titles of the paintings, and I want you to tell me who the artist is. Number one, Empire of Light. That sold for $121
million.
Number two, Orchard with Cypresses. $117 million. Number three, Salvador Mundi, $450 million. Number three, Three Studies of Lucian Freud, $142 million. Number five, Reclining Nude, $170 million. I'm rounding these off because it's chump change, the rest of it. Number six, Portrait of Elizabeth Lederer, $236 million. Number seven, Women of Algiers, $179 million. And number eight is Untitled Skull, $110.5
million.
Okay, so just quickly, tell me the artist for these highest sold paintings ever, at least in the last 20 years. Number one, Empire of Light. Number two, Orchard with Cypresses. Number three, Salvador Mundi. Number four, Three Studies of Lucian Freud. Number five, Reclining Nude. Number six, Portrait of Elizabeth Lederer. Number seven, Women of Algiers. And number eight, Untitled Skull. So we'll start with one each. How about that?
Where
we got?
Here you go. I don't have any.
Okay, well, Salvador Mundi is purportedly Da Vinci, is it not?
Is purportedly, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Good job.
Am I taking yours, Lori?
You are taking mine.
All right. This is a guess, but it's Cypresses. So Orchard with Cypresses, is that Van Gogh?
It is Van Gogh.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, bells.
That man painted a cypress tree.
When it came to cypresses, he was great.
Sure, right. The tree in Starry Night is a cypress.
Yes. All right, good job.
Nice.
Orchard with Cypresses, Van Gogh, Salvador Mundi, Da Vinci. Very good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, everybody. The Carrier 2023 movie is The Holdovers.
It sure is. Divine Joy Randolph, Carrie Preston, and Pete Donovan.
Yeah, fun movie.
That's correct.
The most used Christmas song written for the movie was the Christmas song written for a movie.
No, oh. You mean the Mel Torme Christmas song?
Yeah, that's right. The chestnuts roasting. Yeah, shall I keep going? Over and open fire. No. Or Frosty the Snowman?
Nope.
Okay. Santa Claus is coming to town. How about, I don't know, Danny Kaye?
Nope.
Or the comedian? No.
Nope.
Or the top Christmas songs. How about Holly Jolly Christmas?
That's on Laura, the list.
Or Burl Ives?
It's a Burl Ives song. Do you remember the year?
Sometime between 1945 and 70. No, I'd guess, I don't know, 58?
No. 64. 62, 63. Right, 64 is the answer. Give him a bell for that one. Very good. Holly Jolly Christmas. Burl Ives, for those who don't know it. Very nice.
And how about Jingle Bell Rock?
Jingle Bell Rock is, we already got it. It's on the list. It was the Bobby Helms song.
Oh, okay.
1957, but I like to hear it again. You can sing it if you want.
I don't think you want that.
Okay.
Some of the expensive art, I don't know, I can clear this out probably. So do you want me just a couple?
Yeah, just
I'll give the untitled untitled skull will be Damien Hirst, I think.
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe I won't clear it out. The pre-study solution, Freud would be Bacon.
Yes.
And I'll guess, I'm not sure, Empire of Light, is that Turner?
It is not.
Okay. And forget it, I'm done. I will ask, I know the UN just came out with the most populous cities list, and they changed their the way they calculated it. It used to be they would rely on the, you know, whatever city government and the countries to kind of self-report the population. But but they've changed it now where they're looking at, you know, they're taking a look at, you know, contiguous areas, essentially. So can you name the most populous city in the world based on that?
This is embarrassing because I read this and I'm like, oh, I need to remember this, and then forgot. Is it Jakarta?
It is. It is okay. Jakarta.
Really?
You want to guess any of the other top five? Yeah, Jakarta comes in with 42 million.
Tokyo's still in the top five. I think it just moved to number two, right?
Number three.
Oh.
33 million.
Hmm.
Hong Kong?
Not Hong Kong.
There must be a Chinese city on there. Shanghai?
Shanghai is fifth with 30 million. Pretty much tied for fifth. Fourth and fifth are the same, 30 million. But Shanghai, yeah.
Mexico City?
No. Not in the Americas.
Is there another one in China?
No.
Oh.
Are the other two in India? Or surrounds? Could it be? Oh, shoot.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah.
One in India.
Yeah, and probably the other in Bangladesh or something.
Kolkata?
That's no.
New Delhi?
We start with the same letter. Delhi, just Delhi. Old Delhi.
Old Delhi.
And then the last one is number two.
Is it Lahore?
37 million.
Lahore?
No, other side of India.
Oh. Yeah, I can't think of, sorry. I'm blanking.
Dhaka, Bangladesh. 37 million.
Wow.
So there you go. All right, thanks. Great show as always.
Happy holidays
to everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's go. Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Is it I?
It is you.
Is it I?
It is I.
Sacramento Slim. Sacramento Slim here. I think the name of the painting was I've forgotten the name.
Algiers.
Women of Algiers. Algiers. Is that Toulouse or Trek?
It is not.
Okay, that's the only one I could think of. Okay, in the spirit of the holidays, I have another question about counties. I was going to ask last week about, or a couple of weeks ago, about the largest capitals, not counties, but capitals, by population. And now I'm asking you for the top three that are not in Alaska, by the largest by area.
So the top
largest counties?
I'm unclear. Is it the top
the largest? I said counties. That was wrong. It's the capital cities, largest in area. And I'll point out that Juneau is actually the largest, but it's 2,717 square miles, far bigger than anything in the contiguous states. So the three largest by area, largest capital cities.
What about Atlanta? It's pretty sprawling.
No.
What about where you're from, Sacramento?
Well, Sacramento was way down the list, but
I thought
it would be bigger.
I thought it would be the one you're naming.
But it is in the largest state by population.
I always heard that Indianapolis was very, very much a sprawl. I mean, a wide, big city spread out.
No.
Not that.
What about Columbus?
No. I can see that this one was not a good question.
It's a fine question. We just don't know the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Is it going to be in one of the big states? Should we hang it out in Texas and Oklahoma and that kind of place, you know, where there's a lot of room?
Well, I'll give you that for Oklahoma. Oklahoma City is the largest in the lower 48. It's 607 square miles.
How about Phoenix? Phoenix is pretty sprawling.
Phoenix is number two. Right. Phoenix is number two. Very good. 475.
All right, Carrie, you get the next one. How about that one? How about the one in Florida? That should be big.
Oh, no. Tallahassee's teeny.
Okay.
No. In fact, the third ranked one is almost as large as Phoenix, only a couple of square miles.
Good.
Is it west of the Mississippi or east of the Mississippi?
It's going to be east of the Mississippi.
Ooh. All right. What about Boston? I don't actually know how big Boston is.
I'll tell you this one to cut time short, but I don't think you ever get this because I never would have. It's Nashville, of all places. It's 473. One quick question. What is the smallest state capital by area?
Montpelier, Vermont.
I would have guessed that, but it's not Montpelier.
How about Dover?
This one has 6.7 square miles.
Oh, that is small.
Whew. And it was not Dover?
Oh, is it Honolulu? Oh, did you specify continental U.S.?
He did.
Just the continental. Well, the lower 48.
Yeah. Okay. Only 6 square miles?
6.7. That's larger.
How about Augusta, Maine?
No.
Providence, Rhode Island?
Annapolis, Maryland?
It is Annapolis.
Nice work.
Sure. Very nice.
Yeah.
Almost smaller than my hometown in Texas. Okay. Questions. That's it for me. Thanks for taking the call and happy holidays.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas, Sacramento Slim.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're a little past halfway through. Let's quickly repeat the questions we have out, please. Kira, we'll start with you.
Okay, so I've given you a year and some fourth and fifth billed actors who featured in a movie that takes place around at or around Christmas time, and I just want you to tell me the movie. The ones we have left are from 1949, Barbara Britton, Art Baker, and Anne E. Todd. From 1983, Denham Elliott, Paul Gleason, and Al Franken. From 1990, that's Reginald Bell Johnson, John Amos, and Dennis Franz. Also from 1990 is Diane Wiest, Kathy Baker, and Vincent Price. From 1998, it's Parker Posey, Gene Stapleton, and Dabney Coleman. And from 2008, it's Ralph Fiennes, Jordan Prentice, and Thecla Royton.
I'm looking for the Billboard 100, and top 10. I was looking for the top 8 songs that were composed before 1970s that made the top 10. We have Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Jingle Bell Rock, and Holly Jolly Christmas. I'm looking for 5 more.
Let's see. So I am still looking for what famous comedian introduced Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Yeah. And what song written for the movies, what Christmas song written for the movies has been used in the most films, according to IMDb? And I gave you a list of some of the 20 most expensive paintings sold at auction over the last couple of decades. And the ones I want you to tell me who the artists are. So the ones we have left are Empire of Light, Reclining Nude, Portrait of Elizabeth Lederer, Women of Algiers, Untitled Skull. Yes, thank you. So leave that out. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. The Barbara Britton one, your question, Kira. Mm-hmm. She didn't make that many movies, so I'm just thinking, it's not Champagne for Caesar, is it, by any
nope,
chance?
It is not Champagne for Caesar.
And it's not I Shot Jesse James, is it?
Nope.
Okay.
Not that either.
All right.
Not a big Christmas film, probably.
And don't forget that all these movies take place at or around Christmas.
Okay. All right. So much for that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
It's so coincidental you mentioned the painting, the Reclining Nude, because that's my condition right now.
Thank you very much. Don't want to think about that.
What was the first FM radio station west of the Mississippi?
KALW.
That's it, okay. And who owns KALW?
I thought you did, no?
People.
No, who's the owner? Well, I'm a contributor.
The people?
Pardon me. Who's the owner?
The people.
Yeah.
The people. No, that's not what I came up with.
San Francisco Unified School District.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Damien.
In what movie scene did Ava Gardner shave Richard Burton?
It must be Night of the Iguana.
That's it? What year was that?
64, 3.
Oh my God, you're good. Okay. And you mentioned Jane Meadows. Who was her husband for 50 years?
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen. And who was your sister for more years?
Audrey Meadows from
these are way too easy. We're gonna have to go to some Andy Warhol movies. Do you do Andy Warhol movies? Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, what are the 3 movies with one word titles that became his most famous?
Flesh. Sleep is all I know, yeah.
You get those? Flesh and Would Sleep?
Would say Heat?
No, Flesh and Sleep so far.
Sleep. Yeah, that's a great movie. 8 hours of a man sleeping. Okay.
Yeah.
And Dana said you mentioned Flesh.
Flesh. Okay, I got 2 more.
I thought you said there were 3.
There's 3.
And didn't we say Flesh and Sleep?
Okay. One more I'm thinking of. 1972. 1972. Huge hit.
Does Frankenstein count?
No. Well, it was, I'll tell you the answer, it was Heat.
Heat.
I don't remember that.
That's the basis of my next question, Heat. Who starred in Heat?
In the Andy Warhol one? Because there was a later one, too.
Yeah. Do you mean? Andy Warhol. Okay. That's it. Andy Warhol. Okay. His first name was Joe.
Oh, D'Alessandro.
Yeah.
Joe D'Alessandro, yeah. And who is the female lead who went on to win two Academy Award nominations?
Is this going to be your Sylvia Miles question?
Exactly. That's always
Fred from West Virginia is obsessed with Sylvia Miles. So we've noticed this.
We have the Mind Over Matters fan club and the Sylvia Miles fan club. Those are the two big ones. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
And Kira, I think it is your turn.
All right. I will just ask a quick question. What do humans, Chinese barking deer, and olives all have in common?
Humans,
Chinese barking deer, and olives.
Is this some kind of biological thing they have in common?
It is a biological thing that they have in common. Humans. Did you say pits?
Uh-huh.
No.
All right.
No, it's not pits, Dana.
Right. It's good though. Humans.
We have pits about that. Right here.
The barking deer.
You make a good point, but the Chinese barking deer are not so much.
Well, are they deer? Deer? They're... Okay. There might be more than one answer, it turns out.
So, no, did we establish this as a, is this a biological thing?
It is biological.
All right. I don't know.
You want a hint, give us a hint in any direction here?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I know, I can tell. Are barking deer a animal?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. I don't know. How about similar lifespan?
No, okay. It's not that.
All right.
I don't want to eat those olives, though. Whatever olives Lori has at his place, I do not want to.
We have some great 75-year-old olives. They're delicious.
Rough.
Yeah. Don't know.
Does it have anything to do with what they like to eat?
No,
because the olives would not enter into that.
Yeah.
Well, leave it out. We have callers who are on this.
I'm looking forward to Dana's Attack of the Killer Olives coming soon.
All right.
Sacramento Slim.
Okay, just give that question once more if you would care.
Sure. What do humans, Chinese barking deer, and olives all have in common?
Olives. So any kind of olive?
Yes, I believe it is any kind of olive. And Lori guessed that was something biological.
And that was still correct. Yeah.
And that is true. It is.
And it's nothing to do with lifespan or how they're born or how they reproduce. I'm just guessing now, obviously.
We all do well.
I need to take you aside and tell you how olives are made. Oh my gosh.
Well, there's reproduce somehow, right? They go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not getting close with any of the other.
Do they all keep well in water? see. Okay.
They're all delicious brined. It's true.
All right, Laura, you give a quick question too, why don't you?
All right. My quick question is, for the holiday season, Heinz, you know, the ketchup company, released a new item just for the holiday season. And I want to know its exact name. It sold out almost immediately.
So does it have Christmas in the title of the item?
It does not have Christmas in the
title. Or holiday?
No, but it has, it's implied that it's part of that celebration, but it does not have either of those in the title.
So, but does it have a connection to a holiday food that that you it would be used on, like a condiment or something?
It's definitely a condiment, and it would be, I think people think of it as, oh yeah, that's what we eat during the holidays.
That's what we eat during the holidays.
Well, in other words, people produce this thing, and they, Heinz made it like they make ketchup and mustard, and it's a nice condiment. They sell it in a plastic bottle. It's very popular, sold out immediately.
Well, I don't know how to approach this.
Okay. It sold for $1.88 a bottle.
Oh, cheap. I'm
gonna go. Yeah, it was cheap. Yeah.
All right. No idea.
Okay. We'll leave it out there. Somebody in our audience probably got it. It was a serious product, but it'd also be a good white elephant gift or a gag gift or a stocking stuffer.
What about gravy?
Yeah.
One more word.
Chicken gravy.
Keep going.
Turkey gravy.
Something a little more humorous.
One more word besides gravy.
The second word is gravy. It has a modifier before it, like chicken, like turkey.
Was it like reindeer gravy?
It is not reindeer. What'd you say?
Squeezable.
Well, it's in a squeezable bottle, but it's not called squeezable.
Homestyle gravy?
It sort of implies that it's homestyle gravy. I think it's kind of a wink and a nod, kind of a little bit humor.
Leftover gravy.
That's what it is. Leftover gravy for $1.88 a bottle and sold out in one day. Very good. Give yourself a leftover gravy bag.
Leftover gravy.
Yeah, that's funny. All right.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, I've got a few stabs at answers and then a question. Was one of the Billboard songs White Christmas?
Yes. Do you remember whose version it would be?
It wasn't Bing's.
It was Bing's. Yeah. What year do you think it was?
Wow.
It's a wow.
Really, really no idea. 50?
Before, 1947. It's the oldest song on the list. Hit number 2 on the charts, the Bing Crosby version. Way to go.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Good work.
And then for the comedian who sang Is Santa Claus Coming to Town, was that Jimmy Durante?
Was not.
Good guess.
Oh, okay. And Is Santa Claus Coming to Town, is that one of the songs on the Billboard list?
It is not. It did not make the top 10 or top 8.
Okay. And for the humans, the barking deer and the olives, all the same number of chromosomes?
God bless you. That is correct. Number of chromosome pairs.
Okay.
Are they unique in that, or do other things have
A few other things do as well. That's what we have in common with some barking deer and some olives.
Oh, I think Heinz leftover gravy has the same.
Okay, so my question today is, I'm looking for the top 5 most visited websites in the U.S.
Amazon.com and Google.com probably would be on there.
Okay, right? You just got Google is number 1 and Amazon is number 4. And I will say that Google gets over 16 billion monthly visits, and that's 3 times as many as number 2 on the list.
So I know that I believe that Twitter/X should still be on that list, even though they are frequently used as an app-based
Dropped down to number 9. They're longer in the top 5.
Yeah. Is Instagram?
Instagram, number 8.
Okay. All right.
How about Pornhub?
Good.
I'm sorry, what?
I know. I have to repeat it. How about Pornhub? Which is the largest?
Sorry. There are no porn sites on the top 10. I was shocked, but no,
dubious,
none.
Dubious research.
How about YouTube?
YouTube is number 2.
And TikTok.
Number 2, and I would. I'm sorry?
And TikTok.
Not on the top 10.
Okay.
Are any socials on the top 10? Because again, they are yes. frequently used by apps. What?
Yes.
They so are? Okay.
It can't be. Is it Facebook?
It sure is. Number 3. Mm. Ah. So you've got Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Amazon. Those are 1 through 4. What's number 5?
Is it a commerce site?
No.
No. Okay.
But is it a .com?
Yeah. These are, okay. again, most visited websites.
Wow,
okay, I'm going to throw this one out there because, again, this one surprised me. It's Reddit.
Oh.
Hmm.
That's
which has almost as many visitors as Amazon every month. Mm. So,
wow.
Anyways, thank you very much. I can't believe I actually got a couple answers there.
That's you did. Great.
And very, very happy holidays to everyone. Thanks so much for a terrific show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Rita.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll take some more of your calls. Feel free to give us a call if you're thinking about it. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? You there, caller?
I guess you know Christmas songs from Larry before 70. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No, Kira guessed that, and they did not make the list, I'm sorry to say. I thought they should have been there, but weren't.
Absolutely. How about the Christmas song, Nat King Cole?
Yes, that is on the list. What year do you think it was?
One.
What year? Do you remember?
1960, guess.
Very good. 1961. The Christmas.
Holy Moses. Wow. Yeah. Go for me.
Yeah. Chestnuts roasting. Very good.
That's a good song. And Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells did not made it. There was no, it was recorded. It's the most recorded song, but did not make the top 10.
Okay. Well, at least I got one.
You did.
I'm going to give you one question. Frank Sinatra's last wife, Barbara, divorced somebody to marry Frank Sinatra. Who was she married to before
Zeppo
she married
Marx.
Him?
She was married to Zeppo Marx.
Yes, and they got divorced, so she married Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Wow. That's
listen, everyone. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and peace, peace, peace for the new year. God bless.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good message.
Yeah, Zeppo Marx was the only Marx brother I ever met.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
How'd you meet him? Quick.
Met him at the American Film Institute celebration for William Wyler.
Nice.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, let's see. I'm looking at our emails, our Gmails here. And Carlton was wondering if humans and olives have a certain number of years to reach maturity.
So, yeah, that's a great line.
Along
with the Berkeley
John was wondering if the skull on my paintings list is by George O'Keefe. No, it's not. Though I think she did do a skull painting. Parker Posey movie is, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Best in Show?
No, not Best in Show.
Okay. Steve is wondering if the Denham Elliott Al Franken is Trading Places.
Steve is correct. It is Trading Places.
There we go.
Very good.
There we go.
Is the Parker Posey film 9 to 5?
Nope.
Okay.
Did you mention Dabney Coleman?
I did mention Dabney Coleman.
In what context? Could you do that again?
Yes, with Parker Posey, Gene Stapleton, Dabney Coleman in a 1998 movie that takes place at or around Christmas.
They had somebody guessed 9 to 5.
Yeah, it is not 9 to 5. It's a little late for 9 to 5, and Parker Posey wasn't in that.
Okay. And Ellen is wondering if Women of Algiers is by Picasso. And it is by Picasso. So very good. Very good for you. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Okay. I was wondering if Empire of Light is by René Magritte.
It is by René Magritte. Very good.
Nice.
Okay, and now, and that portrait, I don't know who that person was or when they existed, but I just wonder if it might be by John Singer Sargent.
The portrait of Elizabeth Lederer? No.
Yeah.
No,
who is that person?
We'll find out.
You'll find out.
Later.
I love Sargent, though, so he's one of my favorite painters. So
yeah. Okay, put him on next time.
All right, well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There's a guest from Kira Pace. Is The Untitled Skull by Basquiat?
It's not for it's my studio audience.
Oh, your studio
audience.
Basquiat okay.
For it Untitled
is.
Skull.
It's okay. 1982 Skull by Jean-Michel Basquiat. Yes. Yeah.
Apologies to John. Way to go.
110.5 million.
Nice.
That's Mr. Kira to you.
I was around in 82. I could have gone over there and bought it when it was brand new.
In those days, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. And next call.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Minds Over Matter.
Hello. This is Sandy. Hello. This is Sandy from Oakland. Hello.
Hey, Sandy. Yes.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah. I have a question for you. What Christmas carol was originally written for spring, and the tune comes from 1582? Name that Christmas carol and name the original spring carol.
It's Green Sleeves, which became What Child Is This?
No.
Oh.
You said that so authoritatively.
It largely checks out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not it. There's another.
We don't know.
Another correct answer.
We do not know.
1582.
Pierre Conciones is the tune. So the original. You want me to give you the answers?
Yeah, you better.
Yeah. You might have to sing. Can you sing it?
Da 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 da. I turned it into a lullaby that's the name of the Christmas carol, and that those words were done by a J.H. Neal in 1800s. The name of the original spring carol is Flower Carol. And spring is now unwrapped the flowers, day is fast reviving. So it was changed in 1852, but I'm a retired Methodist minister, and I always have the congregation sing the spring carol on Easter. So, okay, good.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry to cut you short, but we're just at the end of the show, so we have to do that.
Right.
But thank you. I appreciate the question.
Very much. And thank you for singing.
Yeah.
Okay. We like when callers sing. Perfect.
Well, welcome you all.
Thank you. Bye bye. Okay. Very quick cleanup here, Kira.
Okay. 1949, Barbara Britton, et cetera, is Cover Up. 1990 with Reginald Vell Johnson, et cetera, that's Die Hard 2. Oh. 1990, Diane Wiest et al., that's Edward Scissorhands. The 1998, Parker Posey and Gene Stapleton, Dabney Coleman is You Got Mail. And 2008, Ralph Fiennes, et cetera, is In Bruges.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the top of the Billboard songs. We did not get It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams in 63. Yeah. Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano in 1970. And Rudolph and His Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry in 1949. That clears me.
All right. What Christmas song written for the movies has been used the most? And that's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Santa Claus Is Coming to Town was introduced on Eddie Cantor's radio show.
Wow.
The paintings, Reclining Nude is Modigliani. Portrait of Elizabeth Lederer, which just sold 2 weeks ago, is by Gustav Klimt. And I think that's it. Yeah, we got all the others, didn't we? Okay, if we did not get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian D. Minor for handling the board phones. And above all, Thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And we wish you a wonderful rest of Hanukkah and a very, very, very Merry Christmas. And please remember to join us next Saturday morning. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.